What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. New show happened a little bit early this week. I'm doing some traveling, so doing both live shows a couple of days early. But there's plenty to talk about this week. Nico is joining us this week with all of the goings on of all of the craziness in and around this space. There's been a trend of financial censorship, which is, I mean, that's always going on, but like particularly pronounced and like in the limelight this week. So we'll be chatting a little bit about that. As always, this is live. Anything can happen. So I'll defer to my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Thing sucks.
If you have not already, like, subscribe, share, all those things help a ton in getting this content in front of more eyeballs. I am Ben with the BTC Sessions. This is your daily session.
Huddle the Bitcoin.
Before we dive into the news, let's take a look at where we are in the market right now. We're sitting at $19,300 per coin. Single US dollar will pick you up 5,181 sats. 91.35% of all Bitcoin has been mined. And fees, it's looking like 16 sats per byte next block. Still a little bit higher if you're waiting 30 minutes to an hour, but you know, mid to high single digits should do you just fine. Shout out to sponsor of the show, CoinKite.com. These guys just have the best in Bitcoin hardware. I love my cold card Mark IV. This thing's a beast when dealing with interacting with securing your Bitcoin. They've, of course, also got the Open Dimes here, the BlockClock and BlockClock Micro. I'm going to be doing a video on that because I just got the Micro delivered recently, so I'll cover that soon. And then the Sats card I just recently covered, the Tap Signer, all this awesome stuff. Be sure to check them out, CoinKite.com. You can use code BTC Sessions for 5% off everything in the store. ShakePay.com, easy way to be stacking sats in Canada. You can e-transfer in and out, no deposit or withdrawal fees, thin spread. If you use the link down below to sign up and you purchase your first $100 worth of Bitcoin, I'll give you $10 for free. You get the same deal every time somebody signs up through your link and does the same. You can shake your phone every single day for free sats. They've got a sats back Visa card. They've got all kinds of great stuff. So check them out, shakepay.com, link down below if you're interested in that $10. Ledin.io, these guys are great. I've been using them for years now, and they're really useful whenever I have a cash flow crunch. I need dollars, but I don't want to sell Bitcoin. I can deposit here, get a loan of dollars to my bank account within 24 hours, pay back those dollars, get back the same amount of Bitcoin. They've also got savings accounts for Bitcoin and USDC with quarterly third-party audits in which you can cryptographically verify your holdings were part of the audit, which is much needed. They also have their B2X offering and Bitcoin-backed mortgages in Canada and the US. So check them out, start.ledin.io/BTC sessions. If you use that link, you can sign up, fund your account, you get $10 for free. Bitrefill, if I can get to it, bitrefill.com. These guys help me a ton living on Bitcoin. I can purchase any gift card my little heart desires, and I can do it with Bitcoin, both via the Lightning Network and on-chain. I earn sats back as I shop. I can get additional sats back through the referral program, as can you. You can do things like top up your phone, get inbound Lightning channels, and if you're in the US, you can pay your bills, and you can get on a Bitcoin standard like I'm currently living. So be sure to check them out. Again, link down below if you want to check that out. And finally, if you're backing up any important Bitcoin wallet, get it in solid steel. Pieces of paper, especially in my view, don't really cut it. You don't want to have to be worrying about fire damage, water damage, and all the crap that can go wrong with a piece of paper. If you have it in solid steel, those worries go away. So Bill Fottle, this is how I'm backing up my important wallets. You can check them out at privacypros.io/BTC sessions, and I'll get you a little deal at the checkout. And before we bring in Nico, let's do some quick shout outs on the helipad boost tracker. Anybody streaming sats to the show via Fountain or Breeze app listening and streaming sats directly via the Lightning Network for anything they see and like. So obviously CryoSats always peppering all of the Bitcoin podcasts with sats. Thanks, buddy. I see that 333 magic number boost booster shot. CryoSats said the Australian managing director of the Blockchain Council, Steve Vallis, is working with the Reserve Bank of Australia, our version of the Fed, to develop a CBDC, quote, crypto bros working with the enemy to create tools of control and financial war. Keep fighting the good fight. Thanks, man. Indeed, we will. A few others here. Michael said, every man must have freedom, must have the scope to form, test, and act upon his own choices for any sort of development of his own personality to take place. He must, in short, be free in order that he may be fully human. Murray Rothbard. Ooh, good one, Michael. Thank you for that. Second Breakfast said, Calyx and F-Droid tutorial soon? Seems like people will need alternatives sooner rather than later. Indeed, sir. I think I'll be taking a look at that soon. There's Graphene and there's Calyx. I've currently got Calyx on an old Pixel 4. I'll be taking a look at testing out Graphene as well. Yeah, always a good idea to have alternatives when it comes to your app store, because that's a central point of failure when it comes to getting your Bitcoin wallets, and you know, you don't want to get fucked. Giddy up from CryoSats again. Lots of booster shots, booster shots coming through. Zine Tags, best show. JPC says, thank you, Ben. Another amazing podcast on the Found Podcast app. I'm currently reading The Fourth Turning and added 3 more books to my Amazon wish list. Dude, great book. Definitely read it. This is from a conversation with Alex Brammer, Jesse Berger, and Brian DeMint just recently. Get it again from CryoSats and Michael, some bulls. Last few here. Again, CryoSats, Jesus, dude. Just peppering the sats. Strong signal on this one. Made me want to have another kid. Love it. I love to hear that, man. That's from Mr. Boo Hoddle. This is it, boys, from IRFan369. And a few more bulls from Michael. Anyways, thank you guys for the peppering of sats. I appreciate it. Let's get Nico in here to see how his week is going. Buddy, good to see you. How you doing?
Yo! Super pumped to be on BTC Sessions.
Oh, you mean Simply Sessions.
You change it up on me. Yes, Simply Sessions. Oh, man. I'm excited. Lots of things going on in clown world, man.
Dude, tell me about, I'll pull up your thing, but tell me about them. What's been going on, man?
Oh, man. Dude, this one was interesting. And I think it means a lot. So check this out, guys. New PayPal policy lets company pull $2,500 from users' accounts if they promote misinformation. Now, before I get into the article, PayPal walked this the F back. They went so hard in damage control. They got their friends in media. This is a screenshot from the What's Happening tab on Twitter. PayPal's no intention to fine customers over misinformation, Verify and Bloomberg report. Now, unfortunately, Simply Sessions brings the receipts. I'll let you guys be the judge. Do you really think that this language happened to accidentally fall into the policy? So it goes on to say, a new policy update from PayPal will permit the firm to sanction users who advance purported misinformation. Who decides what is misinformation or not? There's an Oracle problem there. Anyways, or present risks to users' well-being with fines of up to $2,500 per offense. The financial services company, which has repeatedly deplatformed organizations and individual commentators for their political views, will expand its existing list of prohibited activities, on November 3rd. Prohibitions on the sending, posting, and publication of any messages, content, or materials that promote misinformation or present a risk to user safety or well-being, right? That's not going to, you know, be abused or anything. It goes on to say, deliberations will be made at the sole discretion of PayPal and may subject the user to damages, including the removal of $2,500 debited directly from your PayPal account per offense. Presently, a reasonable minimal estimate of PayPal's actual damages due to the administrative cost of tracking violations and damage to the company's reputation. Quote, whatever motivation PayPal has for establishing these vague new categories of prohibited expression, they will almost certainly have a severe chilling effect on user speech. And I think that's the signal right there. the self-censorship that this is going to cause people to have. Now, if you want to take a glimpse at what a future with central bank digital currencies is going to look like, here you go. That's exactly how it's going to look like. They had such a backlash. So many people were closing their accounts. There's even information that they stopped the automated account closure process. And now people have to call the 1-800 number to call the account. And of course, that's when they walked it back. But Ben, you read that language. How does that language accidentally get included in a policy if it wasn't for malicious or nefarious means?
Oh, I mean, it's total bullshit, obviously. Like they saw I was hurting their bottom line. And that is the bottom line, is theirs, right? And so you get to a point where you think, oh, I'm gonna shape my political environment as I see fit because we're a giant tech company and nobody can hurt us. And then it actually starts to hurt and they gotta walk it back. But you're right. In a world of CBDCs, that is not the case, because the government, they preside over their constituents or their subjects, as we mostly are treated as. And so you don't have that check, right? You don't have that, oh, all of a sudden you're not going to get your money because they just tax the shit out of you. And it doesn't matter if they make poor choices that the users don't consent to. That's what government is for. government is for taking your money and using it for shit you don't like. That tends to be the trend here. I don't believe for a second anything was a mistake. I believe that they fully just kicked open that door to direct financial censorship. And for the time being, there was enough repercussion for them to walk it back. But in the future, that largely won't be the case. Some of the language there is insane to hear. Like the idea that anybody that shares quote unquote misinformation, how much shit over the past 2 years was removed and flagged and deemed misinformation through mainstream media, through social media websites, all this kind of crap, only to later be like, oh, actually that was true, but there's no repercussion for us having done that because we own the platform. So yeah, man, it's scary, it's shitty, and I it's a good thing that there's a built, ready to go solution.
100%. And I think that as time progresses, it will become incredibly obvious there's really two alternatives. It's Bitcoin or slavery, slavery being central bank digital currencies. And there's Bitcoin, right? It was an open monetary network. But you also have to be, if it's an open monetary network, you have to be okay with people speaking their mind, even if you don't necessarily agree with it. And speaking of that, here is a retweet from Mark Moss, and he's retweeting Candace Owens. Candace Owens says, earlier today, I learned that Kanye West was officially kicked out of JPMorgan Chase Bank. I was told there was no official reason given, but they sent this letter as well to confirm that he has until late November to find another place for the Yeezy empire to bank. It wasn't also that. It was Alex Jones must pay more than $900 million in damages to Sandy Hook families. Now, I want to preface this by saying, do I agree with the things that Kanye said? Do I agree the things with Alex Jones said? Absolutely not. I don't think you agree with them either, Ben. But I think it's a very slippery slope when a bureaucratic elite are getting to decide who is entitled to use money and who is not entitled to use money. And there's unintended consequences to that system, including what we were just talking about with PayPal, the self-censorship aspect, right? People, out of fear of losing their business, losing their way of getting paid, losing their money sending to relatives, now they start self-censoring themselves, going along with the establishment narrative so that they don't get in trouble, man. And I think what they did with Alex Jones is very similar to what Craig Wright did with Bitcoiners, right? He sued them using the UK's libel laws to scare the crap out of the community and send a signal, right? I don't remember anyone in the New York Times being sued or being awarded or being, a fine against them of $900 million because they lied that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, which led to tens of thousands of deaths, right? Mm-hmm. So again, it's a double standard here, and it's a very slippery slope. So the real question, Ben, is what type of world do we want to live in the future? What type of world do we want our kids to live in? Do we want a world, an open monetary network, or do we want a world where a small bureaucratic elite are getting to decide who's entitled to use money and who's not entitled to use money?
Yeah. Yeah. To your point of the double standard, do you know who JP Morgan did continue to bank even after a conviction came through?
I won't be surprised, but tell me.
Jeffrey Epstein. Like, just so, like, this is a tweet from there's a journalist, independent journalist, Ian Miles Chong, I believe. Anyways, he's like, just so we're clear what's acceptable and what's not. And he shows the screenshots of that they continued to bank him even after he was indicted and charged for child trafficking. They're like, well, you know, money.
It's and you know, and it's funny because they say damage to our reputations, brand, like our brand's reputation. It's like, you guys didn't care about that, did you?
Yeah,
you know, so clearly it has nothing to do with reputation. This is more a hierarchical play. It's like, listen, you guys are here. This is how you're going to be treated if you go against the official narrative. And it's really, really scary. Anyways, on a more positive note, that's right, Ben. Those are laser eyes on Alexander Hamilton on a page on the Wall Street Journal. We are at that point in the movie. Check this out. The nation's oldest bank said it would begin receiving clients' cryptocurrencies on Tuesday, becoming the first large U.S. bank to safeguard digital assets alongside traditional investments on the same platform. BNY Mellon won the approval of New York's financial regulator earlier this fall to begin receiving select customers' Bitcoin and Ether starting this week. The bank will store the keys required to access and transfer those digital assets and provide the same bookkeeping services on those digital assets that it offers to fund managers for their portfolios of stocks, bonds, commodities, and other assets. Now, what's really interesting about this, Ben, though, is, and again, I think this is a little piece of signal too, is that Catlin Long has been trying to do this for 2 years and the Fed has been slow walking her. And dude, Ben, could you play the video?
Yeah, let's take a listen. This is a good one.
Of whether crypto truly is risky within the traditional banking system and the connectivity, because there was a major announcement this morning, which is that Bank of New York Mellon, which is, I believe, the largest bank in the United States by assets, has officially now entered Bitcoin custody. And the interesting question that is raised by that is that they are a bank holding company that is regulated by supervised by the Federal Reserve. My company, as you know, has a lawsuit against the Federal Reserve, and I am about to make some news. You will see a filing from my company in that lawsuit pertaining to the announcement this morning, because the Federal Reserve filed filings last week talking about the risk to the financial system from crypto. And then today, a Federal Reserve supervised bank holding company enters crypto. We've been waiting for 2.5 years to do that. And look what the Fed actually said last week versus what it did today.
Well, no one's ever accused DC FinTech Week of not over having too many shy people.
Oh man. Ooh. Yeah, that's I mean, it's just so in your face.
Mm-hmm. It's so blatant, you know?
It's wild. Like, I mean, part of me is like, okay, well, BNY Mellon, like, it's kind of like a semi-condoning of it by the Fed, but also like an absolute proof that there's like a good old boys club, right? It's like, well, you can't do it, but maybe we'll dabble, but it's too dangerous. Not for us, but for you.
Dude, it goes back to like this theme that we've been talking about since we started doing this, Ben. It's the people that are responsible in regulating the on and off ramps are also the people that stand the most to lose if Bitcoin succeeds, right? And those are the people charged with regulating this. So I suspect you're going to start to see more of this very shady kind of like, you're allowed, but you're not allowed, right? Why is the spot ETF not approved and the futures ETF approved? You know, that's it's very suspicious.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be a clusterfuck for some time to come until it's just impossible not to. Like, they will push and wait in every aspect possible to the last possible minute until it's just like so blatantly, disgustingly skewed that the entire public at large is like, what in the fuck is going on?
Yeah, 100%. 100%, man. But we'll be here to cover it, I guess.
Yeah, sure we will.
So, if I may.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. This is Stratum V2. It's kind of a big deal. It's a big, I'll read the headline. I think it says it perfectly. The software used in Bitcoin mining is getting its first big makeover in more than a decade. Let's check it out. I just highlighted a couple paragraphs. The software used in Bitcoin mining just got its first upgrade since late 2012. And a coalition of companies, including payments giant Block, is trying to help push the open source protocol forward to become an industry standard. The goes on to say, what is the Stratum V2? Do, and I think here's the signal, everybody. Currently, it is common for each mining rig in a large farm to directly connect to a pool. This wastes a lot of energy. Lee says that Stratum V2 supports a proxy that aggregates all the connections and only establishes one connection with the pool. Also, it goes on to say, here it is. Working for industry-wide adoption of upgraded... here it is. Sorry about that, Ben. I forgot to highlight it. Feature that represents a historic shift in the censorship-resistant mechanics of Bitcoin mining by replacing a pool's responsibility of assigning work to miners with the ability for miners to select their own work. That is a huge deal because the way that it works now is that only a handful of pools are getting to pick what transactions are included in the blocks or not. This changes that, and this will give the capability to individual miners, if they find the block, to pick and choose what transactions are included in the blockchain and what transactions are not. And I think that further decentralizes Bitcoin. This is extremely bullish, and I don't hear enough people talking about it.
I think it's so poetic that this is implemented at the same time as we're seeing like 90% plus of ETH blocks being OFAC compliant, right? Like, how beautiful is that? Where, and you, all you need to do, even if it wasn't that extreme on Ethereum after moving to proof of stake, even if it was just an increase in general, you just need to look directionally, which way are we going? And moving to making Stratum V2 kind of the standard, it all of a sudden, individual miners being able to decide the transactions they include, it throws the idea of OFAC compliance and regulatory compliance in and around what Bitcoin blocks are and what transactions they include. It throws it out the fucking window. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Like, I love that this is the kind of stuff being built on Bitcoin. And it's again, cool, such the juxtaposition to Ethereum going down and continuing down a path that leads to nothing more than a new Fed.
100%. And it's crazy that they don't even acknowledge that it's a problem, that Ethereum right now is working to censor for the United States government. Like, no one's even talking about it. Here's another bullish piece of news on Bitcoin. I pronounced this wrong earlier today. I'm going to try it again. Erle. Maybe I said it wrong. I don't know. Support signaling has been merged into Bitcoin Core. And Marty does a great job at explaining what it is. He says, what you're looking at, freaks, is a massive breakthrough in distributed network engineering that will enable Bitcoin to become a more robust, reliable, and private network. More robust because it enables more individuals to participate in network validation by opening up the potential universe of those who have the ability to run a node by lowering the barrier to entry on the internet bandwidth side of things. More reliable by increasing the connectivity between nodes, and more private by making it harder for attackers to identify the node from which a transaction originated. So makes it easier to run nodes, man. Again, further decentralization, and exactly what you said, Ben, you you pointed it out, on Ethereum, it's literally going the opposite direction and they're celebrating it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you couldn't point at a better example. And it is, I'm glad that Ethereum is the second largest coin out there, because the trajectory that it's on is so detached from where Bitcoin is and is going, that it makes such a stark contrast that down the line, as these things develop, and even you have articles coming out of, Ethereum's effectively a lot more centralized since moving to proof of stake coming out. I think that was, I don't know if it was Wall Street Journal or it was some like major publication or like CNBC or whatever it was. Nonetheless, even they're recognizing it, like mainstream media, like doing articles on, well, you know, this has happened, and you know, down the line, those things pile up, and it continues to make it more obvious why the development in and around Bitcoin has been so conservative, and there's no easy way out of just, you know, oh, we've got a small group of developers that get to call the shots, and nobody runs a node, and yeah, I love to see stuff like this.
It's incredibly bullish, man. And again, it's heading in the right direction, and and altcoins are headed in the wrong direction.
You can say shitcoins is fine.
Thanks, man. All right, so another update on the separation of money and state saga. To give you guys a quick preface, right? The first time in U.S. history that the U.S. Treasury sanctioned open source software versus a government or an individual. We've been making the case that the reason for that is that the US government is trying to set a precedent, because at the end of the day, what is Bitcoin? Bitcoin is an open source software. We're hearing rumblings from Iran, from Russia, saying that they're going to use Bitcoin to facilitate international trade, circumventing US sanctions, right? So it's a big coincidence that the Treasury, you know, is doing these types of moves. Anyways, eventually, I believe that this is eventually going to be sent to court, and I think that's exactly what's happening. CoinCenter is suing the OFAC over its Tornado Cash sanction. Here is a couple of announcements. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read some of it. Here is the announcement by CoinCenter. CoinCenter is suing OFAC over its Tornado Cash sanction. Privacy is not default on altcoin Ethereum. If you do your job on Ethereum, your coworkers can see your salary. If you donate to a political, before you guys get your panties in a bunch, remember, pay attention. The Treasury is sanctioning open source software. Unfortunately, you could say fortunately, unfortunately, whatever it is, they happen to pick a software, an open source software that runs on Ethereum. And that's just the reality. But if we concede this and we say, oh no, it's Ethereum, it's not a big deal, the Treasury sets a precedent to go after other open source software. And we know for a fact, Ben, based on what we were saying earlier, is that the OFAC is already pressuring Ethereum to censor for them, right? So it's not a conspiracy. This is what's happening. Anyways, it goes on to say, if you donate to a political cause on Ethereum, the enemies of your cause can see your contribution. If you're a celebrity on Ethereum, your fans see not just your politicized activities, but also your private personal accounts. Privacy is not normal for a salaried employee, a charitable donor, even a celebrity. But privacy is not normal if you do these things on Ethereum unless you use Tornado Cash. So look, I hate that we have to talk about a shitcoin, but that's a distraction. The reality here is that this whole thing, right, says it right there. OFAC does not have the authority to sanction a smart contract, and Americans have a right to use privacy tools. If the OFAC gets away with this, that means that all privacy on Bitcoin is that Samurai, it's CoinJoin, right? Wasabi's kind of iffy nowadays, but let's just say all those three, it's all under threat. Because what's really the battle that's really happening here is the right to privacy. And I believe they're going after it is because Bitcoin is a fundamental threat to current US sanction policy. So I know this has to do with shitcoins. I know that's what it said. And it was very painful to read that. But this is about the battle for Americans to use open source software, and also the battle for Americans, the right for privacy, right? So I believe this is really important, even though it made my ears
Yeah. Lead. Well, and again, it's one thing to go after, something and say, oh, this is a security because it's run by a group of people that, people are banking on the efforts of them to make a gain. I'm not huge on the regulations in and around that, but at the same time, if it's centralized enough, it can be attacked. It's an entirely different thing, again, to sanction like a piece of code, like a piece of open source software, because it sets the precedent that literally anybody creating it sets the precedent that people will be afraid to write code, right? Like it's not like this guy who wrote Tornado Cash was like, oh, I'm going to write a program and then it will be sanctioned by the Treasury. Like prior to writing it, it's like, oh, I know I'm writing a tool that will be used so people can enjoy some privacy on Ethereum, which previously was not possible. I think it has a massive chilling effect on any sort of innovation in and around any of this, really. And in the end, yeah, the U.S. kind of shoots itself in the foot, but other nations can follow suit. Mm-hmm. God knows Canada has no problem following that kind of shit. It sets a terrible precedent. I don't want to have to deal with that shit. But at the end of the day, it'll also be the nation states that decide to be open to this that will benefit. I would like to have some of the benefits of of being open to this great new technology. I would like to not have to pack up and move. So yeah, it's scary.
It's actually funny you say that, because I've been saying this to my girlfriend all the time. I'm like, look, we either stand our ground or we're moving to El Salvador. Like that's like, that's the reality. And you guys got your battle in Canada. It's looking great because the conservative, and a lot of people are pissed off at who, right? So the conservative candidate has a really good chance of winning, right? If that happens, that he's a pro Bitcoin premier, right? Which is insane, right? So I think we all kind of have our battles in front of us, but I think Ben, this is going to be a hell of a fight, man. Like I think that's just the reality.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy one. I think the coming years things will get significantly more worse than they are right now. There's going to be some dicey moments. In the end, I think it'll sort itself out, or rather that Bitcoin will inevitably find its way. But yeah, that doesn't mean that a lot of people can't get caught in the crossfire in the meantime.
100%. So another piece of bullish news. I just want to tell you guys that, first of all, this happened in March, but there's a little piece of signal that I picked up on. And on top of this, I want you guys to pay attention when this is happening, right? Because you're starting to see a pattern here. Coinbase, BlackRock, the depths of hell of the bear market, Fidelity, the same thing, NASDAQ announcing that they're launching an exchange. Now take a look at when this acquisition happened. So this is news from March. Exxon is mining Bitcoin in North Dakota as part of its plan to slash emissions. Now the company that they used, let me see where it is. Here it is. The company that they use is Crusoe. And Crusoe, recently, it just came out that Crusoe actually acquired a company that we all know, Great American Mining. That's right. So the company that ExxonMobil used to mine Bitcoin just acquired Great American Mining. And that acquisition added approximately 9% to Crusoe's capacity, bringing Crusoe to a new total of approximately 125 flare gas-powered modular data centers deployed and 300 employees across 6 states. Now, another piece of signal here, right? Right now, it is extremely hard to be a Bitcoin miner. You're getting destroyed. If you don't have the latest and greatest equipment, minimum S19, and you don't have good power costs, you're bleeding chips right now. Right. So the fact that this is happening at the bottom of a bear market is a piece of signal. And again, I think what's really bullish here is that this is the company that a huge energy company in the US, ExxonMobil, is using to mine Bitcoin. So very, very bullish.
Yeah. Again, it's the people making moves right now like this are the ones that are going to be the most efficient, right? They're finding waste and they're capitalizing on it and turning it into profit, and they're turning it into a more secure Bitcoin network. And you love to see it. And I mean, the hash rate just had a huge upswing in the difficulty, which is crazy to see given the Bitcoin price. But
yeah,
keep piling it on. More.
The network just keeps getting more secure, even though mining profitability continues to take a hit, right? So, Ben, out of all the news that we covered today, this is the most bullish and this is the most consequential. This is a retweet from Michael Saylor, and he's reposting an article from the Wall Street Journal. It says Financial Accounting Standards Board on Wednesday said companies should use fair value accounting for measuring Bitcoin and other crypto assets. Now I'm going to get to what that means, but first, let's sprinkle some bullishness onto this. This is Neil Jacobs. And he says, today, the FASB said companies should use fair value accounting for measuring Bitcoin. Almost a year ago, Michael Saylor said that that was one of three things that would take Bitcoin to $5 million per coin. Now, let's check out some of the Wall Street Journal article and let's take a look at what all that means. I'm going to try to condense it in as many words as possible. I literally did not understand this the first time I read it. Anyways, let's give it a shot. The Financial Accounting Standards Board on Wednesday said companies should use fair value accounting for measuring Bitcoin and other crypto assets, moving a step closer to a standard that would clear up uncertainty over reporting how much such holdings are worth. There are currently no specific accounting or disclosure rules for cryptocurrency assets, so businesses classify them as indefinite lived intangible assets similar to intellectual property, such as trademarks. Companies must review the value of such assets at least once a year and write it down if it drops below the purchase price. If the value rises, companies could only record a gain when they sell the asset, not if they continue to hold it. Well, that has changed, right? And I think that's the big deal, that last sentence. If the value rises, companies can only record a gain when they sell the asset, and not if they continue holding it. And that's how the requirements were before for accounting, but now the rules have changed, and it's such incredibly bullish news. Look, I read it right there, right? Almost a year ago, Michael Saylor, that was one of three things that would take Bitcoin to $5 million a coin. So Ben, holy cow, dude, what took them so long?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I didn't know that that's how the accounting rules worked for institutions prior. But yeah, if in the instance of Saylor, right, he's looking at this thing going, okay, well, this is the asset I want to hold. I never want to get rid of it. And as it accrues value, like typically you have an asset that's valued at a certain amount, it can be used as collateral for things. But if you can't record the increase in value in a particular asset until you sell it, that forces selling to be able to enjoy the benefits of having a large amount of assets. But that's no longer the case. And if anything, in fiat land, that now that you can like benefit from your Bitcoin holdings as an institution and acquire more fiat because of them without having to sell your Bitcoin. Holy shit. I feel like that's one thing that will add to a snowball effect down the line. That's great.
100% agree. And I think that's why Saylor said what he said, right? It's like this needed to happen because how it was before, even if you're holding hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin on your balance sheet, you can't reflect that unless you sold it. That's how it worked before. Now that's changed. Now it says it right there. The method would allow companies to recognize losses and gains immediately, making it a lot more efficient and also making it a lot more attractive and lucrative for companies to potentially hold Bitcoin rather than fiat currencies.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's fantastic, man. I love it. Awesome. Well, is that's our final story? Is that correct?
Right on time. Yes,
dude, that was fantastic. Well, I mean, I'm glad we ended on a bullish note there. There's plenty to scoff at in the world today of financial censorship and, you know, sanctions against open source code, but there are orange glimmers of light out there where people are getting it and things are shifting in the favor of Bitcoin. So I think that will continue, but we're ready to buckle in and prep for the fight, because it's coming.
Yeah, this is definitely the then they fight you stage, but I know that once we get over that hill, man, I'm very excited for that. What does Corey say? That bright orange future.
Yes, exactly. Awesome, man. Well, dude, I appreciate it. Thank you for spending the time. We did an early one this week because I'll be traveling a bit, but we will be back again next week to hit it.
Thanks, Ben. Always an honor. Guys, this is your Simply Sessions.
Thanks, man. All right, everybody watching. A few extra things before we leave here. I got to show you a clip that happened in Amsterdam. Giacomo, he was chatting. He had a little debate talking about companies, whether or not they should support shit coins and whether it was an ethical thing or smart thing to do, even if the market currently was asking for it. I got brought up. I thought it was funny, so I thought I would share it with you. This is Giacomo Zucco at Bitcoin Amsterdam.
Right. I'll give you an example. If I don't know if you guys look at YouTube videos by BTC Sessions, great videos about Bitcoin stuff. So Ben is doing a tutorial for Wasabi 2.0 for a cold card. And if you really look at the views of that and you look at the views of porn, it's clear that the market wants porn videos and non-Bitcoin educational video. So you can just call Ben and say, Ben, your Wasabi educational video is great, but just get naked and do something nasty. So the point is not just following the demand, but it's also somehow guiding it. Oh, this was an applause for the proposal. No, okay, porn will be banned on YouTube anyway. So a better equivalence will be flat earth videos that will hit so many views more than a Bitcoin tutorial. But it's stupid.
I love that. I laughed so hard. There were I was getting tagged and clips and everything. I thought it was damn hilarious. So I like, in the comments, applause. Yes. I laughed when the audience applauded for that. So anyways, I thought it was funny. Maybe I'll just upload my videos to Pornhub without changing them, but give them sexy titles. Confident stud shows off his hardware. What do you think? Let me know. Anyways, a few other things to mention here before we log off. I had a visitor the other day. Mr. Steve Barber swung by the house with a little present. I'm going to be using a black box soon. And I've got an M30 Plus miner on the way. I'm going to start doing little bit of mining, and you better believe there's gonna be some videos to come along with that. So very excited. Thanks, Steve, for that, for making the personalized trip. We live close together, so but he did drive that thing down from much further north. Couple other things. Highly recommend you guys check out, since we're talking about Michael Saylor just here, highly recommend you check out a recent episode, Preston Pish, the Investors Podcast, deep dive on Bitcoin energy misconceptions with Michael Saylor. It is a beast of an episode. Definitely check that one out. Now, why am I doing the show early this week? It's because I'm headed to Charlotte, North Carolina for HODLween. Very excited. There's going to be a bunch of awesome people there. Anders and Pubby are going to be there. If you ever listen to Toxic Happy Hour, Guy Swan and his brother are going to be there doing some chats as well. Very excited to get down there. And again, thanks to Jake and Liz for having me down. I'm going to be doing the opening talk to get things kicked off. There's going to be workshops and all kinds of crazy stuff. There's going to be a Halloween party, and Texas Slim from the Beef Initiative is going to be there doing a beef dinner. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're in Charlotte or in the area, or you can make it there and you want to meet up, let me know. I'll be there. We're flying in. We get in late Thursday night, but we're going to be there all day Friday. Saturday, we're heading back on Sunday. So, yeah, let me know if you're in town. Very excited. Also, coming up, Pacific Bitcoin in LA, more specifically Santa Monica, but nonetheless, Pacific Bitcoin is happening the 10th and 11th of November. I'm going to be there for that. But I am doing my cold card deep dive workshop. I did one of these in Vancouver. It was awesome. And yeah, anyway, so if you are going to be in the LA area, be sure to check that out. You can grab, there's only 15 tickets available. I want to keep it small, condensed, so that I can get one-on-one time with everybody. But nonetheless, btcsessions.ca/events, and you will be able to find details there. And tomorrow, coming up, why are we bullish? It's an Unchained Capital takeover. I'm doing it early in the week again because of the travel. But we've got Tyler Campbell, Phil Geiger, and Sahil Chaturvedi. I hope I'm saying his last name right. I don't want to screw it up. But nonetheless, we got the boys from Unchained Capital coming on for an early edition of Why Are We Bullish tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Do not miss it. It's going to be a banger. Very excited. And with that, I'm going to wrap up. Thank you guys so much for watching and or listening. If you're on the pod, streaming sats after the fact. Of course, you should please like, subscribe, share. All those things help a ton getting this content in front of more eyeballs. You can hit up the previously mentioned sponsors down below. CoinKite, ShakePay, Ledin, BitRefill, Billfoddle. They're all down here. And of course, if you're going to be in LA, you can grab a ticket for that event. And if you really liked what you saw, you can always drop me a Bitcoin tip at my Strike page, strike.me/BTC sessions. Get there, type in any amount you want, hit the tip button. You'll see a regular, you'll see a Lightning invoice, or if you prefer, tap to the right, you'll see a Bitcoin QR code. With that, I am out. Have yourselves a wonderful day or evening, and I'll see you guys next time for your daily session.